Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. You know the saying, you're too big for your britches? Well, that kind of describes a hernia. Imagine muscle or tissue that surrounds and contains an organ or body part holding it in place. When that organ or body part pushes through that muscle or tissue and forms a protrusion, that's a hernia. There are different types of hernias in different areas of the body, some of which can be seen in a physical exam and some of which can cause pain.
In most cases, a hernia requires medical intervention. It won't go away on its own. Joining us to explain the most common types of hernia, treatments available, and whether or not surgery is necessary is Dr. Michael Rosen. Dr. Rosen is a professor of surgery at Lerner College of Medicine, Case Western Reserve University, Cleveland Clinic Foundation in Cleveland, Ohio. He currently serves as the director of the Cleveland Clinic Comprehensive Hernia Center.
Dr. Rosen, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate the invitation.
All right, we gave a rough metaphor for a hernia, at least in layman's terms, but how would you describe a hernia?
I think a hernia, simply put, is basically a hole in somewhere in the abdominal cavity, and it allows things to poke through it that typically should not poke through it. And what you see is the protrusion or the mushroom cloud, which can include intestines, fatty tissue, but the ultimate issue with the hernia is the hole in the muscles.
What causes that hole?
Well, we don't always know what causes those holes. There are sometimes, if you've had a prior surgical incision, you can get what's called an incisional hernia. There are some people that are born with hernias. Those typically occur at the belly button. And then there are people that get hernias in their groins. We call those inguinal hernias that most often people are born with, but over time, for various reasons, that area can break down and eventually it allows the protrusion to occur.
Is there one that's more common than another?
I think the most common hernia that we see are inguinal hernias, which are hernias in the groin.
And when you say that people are born with them, are they born with something that it would be considered like a congenital defect, or it's more like they have an increased risk of later in their life developing symptoms?
Well, that's a great question. I wish I had the answer. We don't really know that for sure because we've never really followed a group of people to see what happens. Personally, I think that most people are born with a weakness or a predisposition to that area breaking down and forming a hernia. And then over time, at some point, it gets big enough where things start to poke through it, and then people start to notice that they have a hernia there.
So then does hernia run in families? Is there some genetic component?
I think there's definitely a genetic component, and it certainly does run in families. And it also runs in certain patients that have certain predispositions to other disease processes, like people who have a predisposition to forming aneurysms or outpouchings of their aorta. They often will get hernias as well. And then people that have weakening of their colon wall, and they can get a disease called diverticulitis, they often form hernias as well. And then certainly, especially inguinal hernias, it's very common that they run in patients' families.
Do more men than women get hernias?
Definitely. More men than women get inguinal hernias. For incisional hernias on the abdominal wall, it's probably a little bit more common in women than men, just because women often get more operations on their abdomen than men due to C-sections, hysterectomies, and a little bit more common getting their gallbladder removed.
And what about the age in which hernia most likely presents itself?
They can occur throughout the entire spectrum. It's a very common problem in children, and it can occur up to people in their 80s, 90s, and 100s, depending on whether they've had surgery and what their predisposing risk factors are.
Really, they are common in children. How do they get diagnosed? Do they have certain symptoms? Do they have pain? Or is it just discovered on maybe an annual physical exam?
It can really be discovered on any one of those. And most children come in complaining of a painful lump in their groin, or children often get umbilical hernias or hernias at the belly button. Interestingly, in young children, hernias at the belly button, that's one of the only hernias that will actually heal on its own. And in very young children, up until the age of 5, we wait and see if they will heal on their own. But after age 5, typically children have a painful lump in the belly button, or they complain of pain in the groin, see their pediatrician, and are diagnosed with a hernia.
Now, what about adults? What are the symptoms of a hernia in an adult?
Adults can present with no symptoms, and it was commonly found asymptomatically by their primary care physician on just a routine physical exam. They can complain of pain typically while doing heavy lifting activities, working out, exercise, or any specific activity that increases your intra-abdominal pressure. And what happens then is you increase your intra-abdominal pressure, very much like if you have a hole in your tire. Every time the tire goes around, things start to push through it. And eventually, if something gets stuck in there, they can come into the emergency room with severe symptoms, with incarceration or obstruction of the intestines. Or they can just complain of pain while jogging, working out, working around the house.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Our guest today is Dr. Michael Rosen. He's the director of the Cleveland Clinic Comprehensive Hernia Center. We are talking about hernias. Now, what goes into the decision about how to treat a hernia? As a surgeon, I'm assuming some of them might be able to be left alone if the patient isn't experiencing too many symptoms. But are there others that can really pose a health problem and need to be treated?
Absolutely. I think the most important thing is if you've been diagnosed with a hernia or if you think you have a hernia, it's important to see a surgeon and get your options. And those options are going to depend on where the hernia is, how symptomatic the hernia is for you, and how your general health is to tolerate an operation to repair them. And as I think you mentioned before, there's really no way to fix a hernia without surgery. So the ultimate question is whether you're a candidate to tolerate surgery and whether surgery is going to improve your quality of life and reduce your chances for any complications. And so we know that if you have a hernia at your belly button and you're not very symptomatic, it doesn't have to be repaired. And most of them don't get larger, and you're okay to watch that until it starts to bother you. For people who have hernias in their groin, again, inguinal hernias, if they're completely asymptomatic and they were just found on a routine exam, it's okay to keep an eye on that and see if it starts to bother you. But if you're having symptoms while doing any activity or it's limiting you in any way or changing your bowel habits, then it ought to be repaired because there is always a risk of a piece of intestine getting stuck in there and creating an emergency situation.
And that was going to be my next question. Can a hernia become life-threatening?
Hernias definitely can become life-threatening, and most of that revolves around the situation where through that hole you get a piece of intestine. And interestingly, it tends to be the smaller hernias that cause more problems because if you get a piece of bowel through a small hole, that bowel can get twisted, it can get swollen, it cannot be able to be pushed back in. We call that incarceration. And then it can go on to lose its blood supply, and we call that strangulation. And both of those are emergency surgical problems that really can have a significant impact on patients' quality of life and health. And if the intestine goes on to die, it can make you quite ill and septic.
Is there any way to prevent a hernia?
That's a bit of a controversial question. And in my opinion, not really. The particular inguinal hernias and whether they're associated with heavy lifting at work, I don't really think they are. I just think that when you have that predisposition to forming a hernia and you're doing a lot of heavy lifting, that's when you start to notice it. I think certainly things like smoking, being overweight, diabetes, all affect the way you heal. So if you have an operation, I think you increase your chances of forming a hernia if you have any of those risk factors. But developing a congenital hernia without surgery, I think there's not much you can do to prevent it other than living as much of a healthy lifestyle as you can.
Dr. Michael Rosen is professor of surgery at Lerner College of Medicine, Case Western Reserve University, Cleveland Clinic Foundation in Cleveland, Ohio. He's also the director of the Cleveland Clinic Comprehensive Hernia Center and is the immediate past president of the America's Hernia Society. Dr. Rosen, thank you so much for your detailed account of hernias.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I really appreciate the conversation.